Chapter 15. Going once, going twice, going 14,000 times. I am hiding in the student council closet. The first bell just rang, and there's no way I can be seen in the hallway, because then everyone will ask me where my TV is, and I will have to admit failure. Admit that there is no TV, no car, no anything. I have nothing to auction off. Will is going to dump me, spell or no spell. We're going to raise only a measly few hundred dollars, and Will is going to lose his deposit and be known as the worst JFK sock president ever. And I'll be known as the worst girlfriend ever. No wonder I've never had a boyfriend before. I am a hazard to men. He will probably be so upset that he'll need to spend some time rethinking his life, and he'll put off going to college for an entire semester. And in that time, he'll get some random job, like as a limo driver. Every day he'll pass the Columbia campus and feel a heaviness in his heart. And then one day, he'll pick up some crazy client who will yell at him for no reason, and he'll get distracted and veer into a pole and then spin the other way, drive straight off the Brooklyn Bridge, and plunge to his death. Sob. I've killed my boyfriend. I came in early today with the hope of being inspired by the donations. Unfortunately, the donations are thousands short of true inspiration. If only we could auction off broom rides. Although, after what I discovered on Sunday, I'm not sure I ever want to use magic again. I stiffen at the sound of the door opening. Clomp, clomp, clomp. I'm about to be found out. Discovered. The person is opening the closet. He/she must smell my desperation. The light spears my eyes and I blink twice. "What are you doing here?" asks Kat. "What's wrong?" Terrific. She'll expose me to Will as a complete fraud and he'll dump me. I know she's always acted nice, but surely she'll use my failure to her advantage. Before I can stop myself, I burst into tears. "I don't have the TV," I snivel. "I have nothing to sell. The auction is going to be a big flop, and it's all my fault." Kat's creamy vanilla forehead wrinkles in concern. "It's not your fault. You didn't put the cows in the gym." I hiccup. Little does she know. "But I promised Will I would have something to auction off." She climbs into the cupboard beside me. "Let's brainstorm. What do you have that's sellable?" "Doesn't she listen?" "Nothing. That's the problem." She pulls her purple pen out from behind her ear and taps it against the closet. "Aren't you a math genius? Exams are coming up. Why don't you sell blocks of tutorial time?" "Well, why, that's a good idea. I could tutor. I realize something else. There are lots of smarties at JFK. I'm not the only one. What about help in essay writing? Biology?" My heart races with excitement. "We can ask all the smart people to auction off tutoring." "There you go," Kat says, smiling. "Problem solved." My mind is whirling. "And not only tutoring, there are a million things we can auction off, like a date with the hottest senior." Kat's pen is tapping in overtime. "Locker cleaning? Slave for a day? Tennis lessons?" I reach over and give her a big hug. "You're a genius." She backs her way out of the closet. "I'm going to beg Conj to let us take the morning to prepare. You start making a list of all the services." She tosses me her pen. "Let's hope this works." I'm already scribbling as the final bell rings. "I can't believe she said no," Tammy says, shaking her head. "We're trying to save her prom." "She's horrible. What did you expect?" I ask. It's freshman lunch, and Tammy and I are washing our hands in the girls' bathroom before returning to the lounge. London has refused to auction off dance lessons, and it's not because she can't. Her cast came off at the beginning of last week. It's because she just doesn't feel like it. Who knows? Maybe she doesn't have a date. Not that it matters. We've lined up 50 students who are willing to volunteer their services. We are so busy complaining about London that we barely even notice Jewel, Melissa, and Dory spilling into the bathroom. You know what? I'm no longer afraid of them. In fact, guys, I say bravely, I have a favor to ask you. The three of them freeze in shock. What? Melissa snarls, crossing her arms. I was wondering if you three and Steffi would be willing to be part of the senior auction today and sell a dance lesson, since you four were so good in the show. What do you say? We would really appreciate it. Tammy, Dory, Jewel, and Melissa are all looking at me as though I should be institutionalized. Melissa shakes her head. Have you not noticed that Steffi hasn't been here for, like, a month? Oh, not really. I lean against the sink. What's wrong with her? Duh, Dory says. She has mono. Tammy snaps to attention. She does? Melissa gives her evil grin. Yup. She got it from your boyfriend. They had a little make-out session over spring break. What? Tammy and I both scream. Sorry to be the one to break it to you, she smirks, but your boyfriend's a cheater. At first, Tammy doesn't speak. Her lips form a shocked O. You're not going to start crying, are you? Melissa says, thoroughly enjoying this. Tammy's O slowly turns into a huge smile. Fantastic! He's so history! I laugh. Melissa, Jewel, and Dory give each other a what weirdos look. So how about the three of you, then? I ask. Might as well. Melissa tosses her long red hair behind her back. As if. Oh, well. Didn't hurt to ask. I shrug and am about to head out the door when I hear, I'll do it. I turn back and realize that it was Jewel. She's looking me right in the eye. You will? I ask. My heart skips a beat. Is it possible? Is this Jewel's way of making amends? Dory and Melissa are scowling at her. Yeah, she says, smiling hopefully at me. Why not? 60, do we have a 65? 65 to the young man in the red sweatshirt, do we have a 70? Says Jeffrey. I've never seen an auctioneer, but I bet Jeffrey is the best one ever. Who even knew he could talk? The auditorium is packed with students, teachers, and parents. We've raised more than $8,000 so far, which is great, but not nearly enough. We've gone through most of the items. Clothes, books, CDs, picture frames, dinners. We're almost done auctioning off the student services. Kat and I are sitting on plastic chairs off stage, keeping track of the income. Bosch and Tammy are suspiciously absent. I'm pretty sure they're making out in the sock lounge. Right after we left the bathroom, Tammy found Aaron in the finally fixed cafeteria and dumped him. Last call at $70 for 10 hours of biology tutoring? Come on, boys and girls, chemicals are confusing. If you fail bio, you're not getting into a good college. 70 to the guy with a goatee in the back row. Do I hear 75? 70 going once, going twice, going three times. Sold! Ha! My 5 hours of math tutoring went for 80. Never mind. Jewel's dance lessons went for 200. Jeffrey holds the next item above his head. 2 prom tickets for non-seniors, price starting at $100 for both. Do I hear 100? Where did those come from? Will must have slipped them in. A sophomore raises her paddle. Kat nudges me with her foot. Maybe I should buy them, She jokes. Do I hear 120, 120 to the girl in the back? Do I hear 130? You're going to come for a bid, aren't you? I ask. She shakes her head. I can only go if a senior asks me. That's insane. You worked on it all year. The prom wouldn't be happening without you. She shrugs. That's the way it works. Don't look so horrified, she adds, giving me her big smile. It's not the end of the world.
130, do I hear 140?
Buy the tickets, I urge. Then you can go. I don't have anyone to go with, she says. Really? It doesn't matter. I'll go next year. Her head stays straight, but I can't help noticing that her eyes trail to the other side of the stage, where Will is now standing, holding four jackets. I feel a dipping in my stomach. Will would have asked Kat if it weren't for Miri's love spell. As with the oranges and the clothes and the car, I stole his affection.
Sold for $300 to the pretty redhead.
My head snaps up at the word redhead. I peer out from behind the curtain to see who's cheering. Melissa.
Groan.
Melissa is going to prom? That means Raph will be at prom too. Maybe the four of you can double, Kat offers.
Double groan. Next up, donated by the generous Khosravis from Casa Coats and Goods, we have classic men's high-grade leather jackets in the color camel, sizes small, medium, large, and extra large. Retail value $635 each. We are starting off with size small. Do I hear 100?
My heart lurches. Now I'll be thinking I'm seeing Raph everywhere. Definitely a potential problem. But not the only problem. Will's jackets are our last items. That means that after these products, we're out of loot to auction off. And we've raised only $10,000. We're still $4,000 short. Even if the coats earn their retail value, that's only $2,540. I watch with a sinking feeling as the size small goes for $450. The medium and large go for $600 apiece, and the extra large goes to Mr. Earl's for only $350. We're $2,000 short. We didn't make it. After all that, we're still going to have to cancel prom. I'm about to cry when Will walks over to River with a final bag. More coats?
And for our final item tonight, also from Casa Coats and Goods, we have a brand new limited edition Izzy Simpson leather hobo bag. Retail value $1,500.
Yes! One more item to go. A gorgeous item, if I do say so myself. Izzy Simpson is my all-time favorite designer. Not that I would ever spend so much money on a bag, but if someone buys it, we're almost saved.
Bidding starts at $500. Do I have a bidder?
At this point, both Kat and I have pushed the curtains aside and are eagerly watching to see if there are any buyers. Even I'm biting my nails. Come on, come on. A paddle goes up from Ms. Hayward.
$500 to the math teacher in the front row. Do I see $700? Come on, people, it's for a good cause.
Wow, go, Ms. H. Who knew she was a fashionista? You so wouldn't be able to tell from her boring gray pants and sweaters. Amy Coppola raises her paddle. So nice of her to show up. Then Ms. Hayward raises hers again. London Zeal raises her paddle.
Boo! $1,300, Jeffrey says. Do I see $1,500?
The room is silent. Please don't tell me we're going to be short by $700. Come on, Amy. You're the worst sock member ever. Can't you at least buy the purse? And that's when a paddle goes up in the back of the room.
$2,000,
the person says in a familiar voice. Who is it? All of us backstage are in shock. Is it possible?
$2,000 going once, twice sold to the blonde woman in the back.
I step on tiptoe and see Jennifer waving at me. Oh, my God. As soon as the crowd begins to disperse, I run right up to my stepmom. I can't believe you bought it. Why not? It's gorgeous and a fantastic deal. It's a limited edition, you know. I'm already on the waiting list at Henry Bendel. Plus, because I bought it here, it's tax deductible. But how did you know that we needed $2,000? She shows me a notepad that's covered in numbers. I was keeping track. You said you needed to raise $14,000, right? So that's what you had left. Wow, is all I can say. I was an accountant before I had Prissy, you know. I didn't, actually. She pays for her purchase and then waves goodbye.
We did it,
Will says, picking me up and spinning me around.
We raised $14,000. Prom is going to be amazing, and it's all because of you, Rachel. This auction was your idea.
He puts me down and looks into my eyes.
I really love you,
he says. And you know what I wish? At this moment, what I wish more than anything is that I never used the love spell. I wish that his words were real. All anyone can talk about for the next 2 days is prom, prom, prom. It's on. After school on Tuesday, Tammy and I go shopping to get her a dress and me some shoes. When I get home, I spend an hour walking around the apartment, hoping to break in my new 2-inch heels. At least neither my mom nor my sister is around to make fun of me. Miri is locked in her room doing God knows what. She'd better not be ignoring her schoolwork. And my mom is out as usual. Not that we're talking. When she arrives home at 9, looking tired and out of it, she zaps her shoes off and goes straight to bed. I go to bed less than an hour later, counting the hours. 44 till prom. By the time I get home on Wednesday, I can barely contain my excitement. I slip on my new heels right away to continue breaking them in. When I hear my mom's television, my good mood convinces me that it's time to make amends. I hop over to her room. The door is ajar, and I gently push it all the way open. I find her in her bed, surrounded by a huge mess. Clothes and food cartons are piled on the sheets, and the room stinks like an ashtray. Are you sick? I ask. She shakes her head but doesn't move. I sneak over to her bedside and see that her bed isn't the only thing that's a mess. Her hair is in knots. Her skin looks pasty and her nails have been bitten down to the quick. I immediately climb into bed beside her, pushing over a wrinkled cashmere sweater. What's wrong?
I'm fine, she says, and zaps on the light. It's the men. I've gone on all these dates, and I know they all like me, but I don't really like them. Do you want some cheesecake? She asks, and then zaps one up. Or pie? And then zaps that up, too. I want a cappuccino.
Cappuccino appears on a tray on her bed.
Never mind. I think I want a cup of tea.
The cappuccino is replaced.
Or maybe.
Stop. Just stop, I say. Are you feeling okay? She shrugs.
Actually, I'm a little depressed.
No kidding. Why don't you go fix yourself up? Mom nods and does a little waving thing with her hand.
No,
I say, sternly grabbing hold of her wrist. I meant take a bath. She blinks.
Oh, but it's easier this way.
I know it's easier, but a bath feels good. She considers the possibility and decides to do it. As my mom runs her bath, I start cleaning up her room. A sweater here, a jacket there. What is all this stuff? Why did she zap it all up? Because it was easy? Maybe that's why she's so depressed. When you get what you want so easily, it doesn't mean anything. Like an empty, "I love you," I realize sadly. After I finish cleaning, I check on Miri, who looks equally exhausted. She's sitting on her floor, surrounded by three binders with labels, Saving the Whales, Bushfires, and a new one, The Evil Circus. Another head case, but one problem family member at a time. "Mom is having a crisis," I say. At first, she looks confused, and I'm worried she's going to say, "Mom, who?" But then the clouds clear and she says, "What's wrong with her? Do these people live in the same house?" I'm beginning to wonder if anyone pays attention besides me. "Just back me up," I say. And a half hour later, when we hear the bath draining, Miri and I are waiting on my mom's bed. "What's going on?" my mom asks. "This is an intervention," I say. "Mom, you shouldn't be using magic at all if you can't use it in moderation."
"But I..."
she begins, and then trails off. She sinks onto her bed.
"I can't believe this is happening. Again."
"Huh? Excuse me?"
"This is why I stopped using magic. Why I became a non-practicing witch. When I was a kid, your aunt and grandmother and I used magic for everything. Clothes, tests, school, boys, friends. But I was never happy. Nothing meant anything. And it wasn't just me. My mom and sister were never truly happy either. So I decided I would stop using magic. Just stop. In college, I studied for my own exams, bought my own clothes, and met my own boyfriend, your father. And it made me happier."
"Not for long," Mary says. "He left you. It didn't work out."
"If I hadn't married your father, I wouldn't have had the two of you. I wouldn't trade my situation for anything in the world. I'm not saying everything was perfect, but I experienced life."
"I get it," I say. "Keep going." My mom takes a deep breath.
"When your grandmother saw how at peace I was, she decided to do the same. We both realized that our powers were more of a curse than a blessing. We vowed that we would never use magic again. Of course, when Sasha realized what we were doing, when I let it happen, when I didn't use magic even when..."
She chokes up, and tears spill over her cheeks. I lean toward her. Is she finally going to tell us why she doesn't speak to Aunt Sasha? "When what happened?" She shakes her head.
"I guess not." "I should have realized that this would happen this time," my mom says finally. "That I couldn't just dip my toe in. That it's not in my nature. I can't live like this. I have to quit."
She nods slowly.
"Cold turkey."
"Are you sure you need to cut it all out?" Mary asks.
"Yes," she says. "I didn't plan on being so extreme this time, but I'm an all-or-nothing kind of witch. I'm sorry, girls."
I hug my mother tightly. "I promise to support you any way I can. We both do. Right, Mary?" But my sister is already lost in her own thoughts. I elbow her in the ribs, and she quickly snaps out of it and nods.
"What? Oh, yeah. I'll support you. But I don't have to give it up, too, do I? I have a lot of stuff I need to take care of. Important stuff."
"We all have to do what we all have to do," my mom says. "It's your decision."
Miri looks relieved.
"Good, because I'm still working on that rain spell for California. And, Rachel, I just found out that the circus is in town, and I absolutely have to take care of that first. Do you think... How insensitive is she? Miri, I think Mom has enough to be concerned about without worrying about your next scheme. I mean, come on. Do you smoke a cigarette right in front of someone who's trying to quit? I give my sister my best stop-being-an-idiot eyebrow lift and say, why don't we get Mom into bed and make her dinner? But I'm really... I give her my don't-mess-with-me look. Oh, okay. My mom touches my cheek. When did you become so mature? Mature? Me? Good question. After we tuck her in, make dinner, and clean up, I follow Miri to her room and close the door. Okay, what's all this about a circus? You planning to become an acrobat or something? Now that's a cool job. I've always wanted to try a real trapeze. When I was younger, I pretended the curtain rod was one, and I'll admit that didn't end happily for me, Miri. She was the catcher. Or the living room. She thrusts a flyer at me. The Fayer Family Circus is in New York. I read the photocopied yellow paper. So, you want to go? She grabs the flyer back, rolls it, and hits me over the head. No, I don't want to go. Don't you know how cruel circuses are? They chain the animals to the ground, lock them in cages, make elephants, lions, and monkeys perform acts that are totally unnatural. I like the circus, I say. Our parents took us when we were kids. Now that I think about it, I remember that Miri spent most of the trip crying, while I spent most of the time eating cotton candy. Yum. We have to save them. It's our responsibility. Animal circuses are already illegal in most other countries. Sweden, Austria, Costa Rica, India. Let's sit down and discuss it. I make myself comfy on her bed. I don't want to sit down, she screams, sounding a wee bit hysterical. We need to go! Now! Now? As in tonight? My plan for the night involves lots of sleep. It's been a stressful few weeks, and prom is tomorrow. And now I'd really like to chill. She narrows her eyes. The elephants don't get to relax. They're too busy having metal hooks slammed into their feet. Gross. That's pretty graphic. You can't just pretend these things don't happen. She disappears from the room and returns with the lithium batteries. I'm going. Are you coming or not? She's out of control. Let's just take the night to think this through. We'll make a plan. Why don't we have a rally? Or a protest? We don't have to do it tonight. I did lots of research on the internet, and the consequences of our spells have been... I said I'm going! Guess you're not. She puts her fists together, scrunches her eyes shut, and says... Transport to the place inside my mind. Oh, drat. I jump on her back. The power of my fists shall ye bind. I close my eyes in preparation for the screaming light. It didn't work, Miri says angrily. I open my eyes. Indeed, we are still in her bedroom. I slip off her. What happened? She places her fists on her hips. Did you gain weight? No. The nerve. Maybe the batteries died. Do you have spares? She pouts. No. Guess we'll have to fly. I'm changing into camouflage, she says, stripping, and bringing the reflective shield in case. Can we just pause for a second and discuss this like rational people? There's nothing to talk about. I have to help. It's my responsibility. Not everything is your responsibility. You don't understand, she says as she pulls on my black sweatpants. You're not a witch. Ouch. You're right. I'm not. Maybe she has a point. I don't understand how she feels.
I don't know the pressure of having the capability of doing so much good, of feeling like the entire world's health and happiness is in my hands. I don't know the fear that comes with magic. I don't know anything. She fetches our broom, then pulls a black sweatshirt over her head and fastens her helmet.
Are you coming? She asks.
The only thing I do know is that it's my job to support my sister. I'm coming, I say, and dash back to my room to change.
Do I have a choice?
I scribble a note for our mom. Miri joins me in my room, the broom in tow. She yanks open the window, and the cool air breezes in.
Time is of the essence, she says, straddling the broom. Hop on.
I fasten my helmet, climb on behind her, hold up the umbrella shield, and duck as the broom jolts toward the open window. Here goes nothing.